You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. I mean to tell you, a lot of things have been going on, and we're going to be discussing that today during open forum, and I'm going to be asking all of our panel members to give us a report on how they think things are going here in the USA. As you know, during the year 2018, we've been encouraging America's businesses to highlight on their labels and packaging that the items are made or assembled in the USA. Boy, that's been really moving nicely along very well, very well. I can only say that. Everywhere I go, everyone has something to tell me about that. And as always, as we begin our broadcast, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in if they live in our tri-state radio area, which is southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. They can tune in and get the signal. If they live further out, they can tune in right from the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Click on the Listen Live link. And by the way, even on Saturday at 11 o'clock, you can tune into the Listen Live link and get the full Saturday variety program. And any day, you can tune in from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. We are on 7 days a week here on 860. And if you live in the broadcast area, I'm always depending on you to go out of your way to support all of our events, our advertisers that advertise with us 7 days a week. We appreciate all that you do to help us keep our message going strong. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to speak with a few people. As you know, registration time is now passing. And those of you that use the link on the front page of our internet site know that it was easy to use. But some of the people last night at our meeting discussed how many new people registered to vote. And that was really very important and good news to hear. Now it's getting those people out to vote on Election Day. First of all, I want to say thank you to our panel members who are volunteers and who make time each and every week to be part of our great effort to keep America strong. First of all, I'd like to introduce Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. That will be followed by Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate, and then the very impressive Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration. I'm Michael Blihash, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. Before I go to our panel members, I'd like to thank them for all the great assistance that they've been giving. A lot of people know you mainly through this radio broadcast. Maybe they see you on the internet site. They see you in various newspapers and on the flyers that I give out. And that's really important that they set in their mind your face and then your voice. That's really very important. And as all of us know, good company on a journey makes the journey seem much shorter. And that's exactly what I feel about our panel members and all of you, our faithful supporters, for what you've done to help us keep focused and help us restore common sense, as Mark has on his shirt. It's Common Sense by American, and you can get those shirts at the Made in America store simply by going to madeinamericastore.com. You guys have made the journey much easier, and I want you to know that it's very much appreciated. First, I'm going to ask Mark Andel, let us know what is happening. What do you think is happening in the USA in the world of business?
Yeah, hi, Mike, Larkin, Rich, listeners. Great to be on, Mike. Thank you. great stuff. I mean, really, you know, yesterday we had our 800th bus, and I bring up the buses. It was an honor to have the 800th bus come to the Made in America store. We got a ton of media press and good exposure. But these bus people, 56 people generally, Mike, 50 at a time, come from across the country, different states. And, you know, I can tell by their handshake. Some of them swallow your hand up like a glove. You can tell if they're a farmer, a worker, professors, teachers. But everyone tells a story. And lately off these buses, you asked the question, you know, what do we feel how the country's doing? They tell me. A lot of them say, hey, I might not have voted for this president, but, oh, my God, I see different things going on. Mills open up, work's back, especially from the breadbasket of America, the central United States. You know, the proof is in not the lip service. It's intangible evidence of change. And it's all over, Mike. Like even General Welding, we're very busy. We just haven't seen things like this in a long time. So a lot of positive. You won't catch that on the news, unfortunately, but you got to listen and look and talk to businessmen and people and even employees because they know their companies are busy. So very, very exciting times, Mike. Need to be a part of. I think there was a huge win, you know, in Washington lately, and I just feel that momentum really building up.
That's what I like to hear. We need positive. Most people feel and tell me point blank, it's time to move past all the negativity we experienced in recent years and focus all of our energy on getting businesses to expand and return to America, get that label USA back in full circulation. It's time to ensure that businesses find America absolutely the best place to do business. Larkin Connolly, tell us what's happening with you and what do you see happening?
Good morning, Mike, and good morning, fellow panel members and audience. And Henry, it's great to be back. Sorry I missed last week, but it was for a very important procedure that I had done. And as you can tell by me being on the radio today, I survived that procedure. That's good to hear. You know, I'd like to hand out some kudos to President Trump. I think he had a pretty good week last week. I have to hand it to him. I don't think I know anybody that takes a victory lap quite as well as he does. And he took quite a few victory laps last week. As he celebrated a lot of the victories he had. And, you know, I thought about this Kavanaugh thing and how important of a decision it is. And I've kind of peeled away a couple layers of the onion and have decided that the process to become a judge on the Supreme Court, the highest and most powerful court in the world, the process almost has to be political because the individual being appointed is being appointed by someone who is an elected politician. The secret is that that judge, once he takes that oath, has to discard all of those feelings and be a judge who, as far as I'm concerned, I'm an originalist, goes back and interprets the Constitution and makes decisions on you know, based on 9 votes of the Supreme Court. Listen, Elaine Kagan and the other young lady that Obama put in, they were avowed liberals and were willing to talk about their liberal feelings when they were being interviewed, as we say, for the job. But after all of it was said and done, I said to myself, you know, what have we learned? What can we take away from this whole process? And here's an idea. And somehow I've got to get this to President Trump. Trump should nominate Hillary to the Supreme Court so that a full investigation of her can finally be completed. Seriously. Seriously, let's nominate her to the Supreme Court. She won't make the first 2 days.
Larkin, I think that has to go from your lips to the president's ears. And if there is another opening, that is a very interesting suggestion.
Oh, man, I think it would be. Listen, how much fun would that be? You talk about Templars and comments and just all the rule of law and everything else. It would be hysterical.
Well, I mean, we're about to learn a lot of information about the Mr. and Mrs. Clinton, because it was just announced that they are going on this major tour. I don't know exactly what month it is, but they're going on a big tour, and they're asking that everybody promote the tour. The tour tickets, I believe, to see them will be $700 a piece.
Well, no. The front row, you know, the first 10 rows are 700. The typical seat's about 175, and the back row way back in the back of the room is like 70 bucks.
Oh, I just heard someone call to ask me if I'd be interested to promote the $700 seats. I said, no, I don't do that on any of our broadcasts. If it was Clinton or anybody else, Trump, we don't do that on our daily broadcasts. So that's the story. I mean, they're putting out the feelers to get the auditoriums wherever they'll be. Well-filled and make a big, like, push, like everybody and their grandmother wants to be there. So, Larkin, that is the best I've heard in a while.
A stadium tour. And you know what it comes down to? The Clintons have been standing on the sideline watching Donald Trump with his stadium tours, which are usually, you know, get out the vote and, you know, just rallies. And the Clintons are just gut-wrenchingly jealous.
Well, I think the tours will be good. We'll be able to see more about what they have to offer, and it will allow the people to understand if she was should have been the president, or there is no way that she could have ever been the president.
Ask with Slogis if this is a setup for a run for Hillary.
What do you think, Dr. Logis?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. And let me just say first, because I got to unpack a couple of things Larkin said, but I just need to first congratulate Mark on his 800th bus.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Yeah,
I mean, that is just amazing, Mark, and so remarkable and so American, right? So persistent, doing it when, you know, some days you don't feel like doing it, when you're tired, when you're sick. But you just keep on keeping on, and I'm really so proud of everything that you've done, and congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And I'm sure there's going to be 808,000 more. Now, I want to tell you, Mark, thanks for nothing in the 2016 election, because you guys voted Clinton in New York. All right, so let me not get too ahead of my head of myself. Although we know where Mark stood on everything. And guys, look, here's the thing. I've said this before, and tomorrow, Michael, on my show, on my podcast, I am going to lay out for Hillary Clinton herself how she becomes the nominee in 2020. Hillary Clinton is campaigning right now. I'm not saying she's going to declare. I don't know. I don't know. All I can predict, Michael, because I don't like predictions, all I can look at and observe is what's happening right now. And I believe for over a year, Hillary Clinton has been campaigning. Running for president is a four-year process. There are only two Democrats in the country right now who have been, for the most part, campaigning since President Trump was inaugurated: Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. They will never, ever run together. Joe Biden would be happy to run with Michelle Obama as his running mate. Hillary Clinton, I have no idea. But what I do know about Clinton, Michael, she would be happy to be a professional losing candidate for the rest of her life. She would run for president every 4 years if she could get there. And I'm telling you guys, she's running right now. Whether or not she'll declare, we'll find out. I'm going to lay out tomorrow on my show exactly how she becomes the nominee. You guys are going to hear. Now, you might be wondering, Rich, why in the world would you do that? And the reason, Michael, is because, well, beating her the first time was so much fun, I want to do it again. You know, I want to do it again. Don't you guys want to do it again?
I
want an encore.
You know what? I want to tell you this, guys. The people who are watching what President Trump is doing and watching what Mrs. Clinton is doing say, Michael, I may have voted for Mrs. Clinton, but I would not vote for her again, because I see that we needed an outsider in that particular office. I am going to say this, guys. I don't think after Donald Trump, there will be another easy election for the highest office in the country. I don't think so. I think the next president is going to have to really put everything on the table, all cards on the table, no dancing around, no more running in rope lines to shake his hand and get, or her hand and get a smile. That's all over. You're going to have to put the real bread and butter issues on the table and let the electorate slice it up.
Michael, may I just add a point, please, based on what you said about, you know, registrations have passed and now it's game time. And if you're not registered, you took yourself out of the game. Shame on you. If you're not registered to vote, you took yourself out of the game. And frankly, even if we agree on all issues, it doesn't matter because you're not going to have a say. So what is going to show in November, Michael? Here's what is going to show in November. Historically, the president's party loses the midterms in the first term. If we buck that historic trend, it will show, it will confirm that America First, what we talk about, what Mark Andel does every day, Curtis, everybody, it will confirm that America First is bulletproof. Bulletproof. But you got to have a win to say it, because you got to win the present. You prepare for the future, Michael, by winning the present. And in the present, retaining majorities and keeping the momentum going with the legislation we've seen, tax reform, Supreme Court, et cetera, you keep the momentum going for the present. But you also, then you get to have, you get to talk for 2 years, a very powerful narrative, which is that as the winning side, you have the right to take ownership of the narrative that America First is bulletproof. The opposition party winning, even if they even take control of the House, it doesn't have to be both. They now have the narrative for 2 years that they can run on, which is, Trumpism isn't all that. It's not really all that. And that's where our tug of war, Michael, comes through. And I again, guys, I don't like the prediction game, but I really think the Brett Kavanaugh situation, everything that went down in those hearings, which, by the way, thank you to everybody who contributed to our 2016 win, because by virtue of our win, we won again on Monday night when Kavanaugh was sworn in.
Absolutely.
And that was it's funny how Kavanaugh was sort of the unintended October surprise. And I think that there's going to – the same principle, Mark, that led a lot of people to get to the polls in November 2016, because I believe people had enough at that time. I think that principle now is very similarly going to apply, where people looked at that and said, this other side is just – I mean, again, the GOP, I'm looking to put them out of business too, Michael. But when you look at the other side, I mean, if you're a Democrat today in America and you're not feeling, I mean, if you think what went on is okay, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, there's no reasonable person who could look at what happened and say, this is good, this is okay for the country.
No, it was very discouraging.
They made a whole mockery of this thing.
And Rich, I talked to a judge friend, I got a few, and I asked him about that, and he said, and he was Democrat, and he said, what they're pushing now is just so against what we were raised to believe as a Democrat. And he said, being a judge and what Kavanaugh went through, they put so much doubt in his wife and children and family's mind, you can't remove that. It was just unbelievable. Nothing they were ever taught in law school, he said. It's the opposite of what everybody believes in for the United States, the due process.
Just amazing. And there's video all over the country, guys, of students at Harvard and Yale law schools. Harvard and Yale law schools students protesting. I want to know who all they are, because I will never hire them to represent me legally, ever. If you're an attorney protesting due process, I don't ever want to hire you for anything.
Exactly.
Anything. I don't want to stay away. Don't walk, run. When they walk towards you, run across the street. Get away from them.
Is it scary now?
You know, I wanted to say to you, where do those protesters get the money to do that? Why aren't they protesting for jobs? You know, by the way, with all the goodness that's going on in America, the industries expanding and all, there are still tens of millions of people that are not in the workforce because they weren't listed on the workforce level because they were not receiving unemployment. Now many of these people are going into job training programs, and they'll be gobbled up by more and more companies that are getting involved in expanding in America. You know, and everybody says, you know, the Democrats, the Republicans, both had equal time to end our nightmare in America, but they didn't do it. They were playing peasant politics for years and years. You know, Larkin, I'd like to see 50% of what Amazon is selling today to be made or assembled in America. I'd like to see it.
I might like to add to that, that I also saw an ad either last night or the night before from Walmart stating their dedication to Made in America and to the fact that that they wanted to support American workers. I was really kind of taken back. I was reading and not much paying attention to what was on the television. So I really almost caught the tail end of it. Like, what? What did I just hear?
Larkin, that's my favorite. You know, I always thank them for putting the buildings up for me that we're going to take them over across the country. But, you know, Walmart's done a lot of different things. And they do promote once in a while. So, you know, hopefully their heart's in the right place. But I will say I've got some speeches coming up. One's a local school, Pioneer School, bringing kids because Manufacturing Day, Mike, was last Friday. And pushing manufacturing, wanting to expose kids and children and students and teachers to manufacturing. So next week we got 30-plus kids and students and parents coming through. But also I was asked to be on the Teachers Retired Association, a speaker down in Rich's end of town, White Plains area of New York next week, where the teachers want to hear the story and what we're about. Because what we're doing, what we're talking about, getting these skilled trades, metal shops, wood shops back in schools, the shortage of skilled trade workers right now, like I've said, I've never seen the work, military work, oil mining, or what I've got in my last 10 years, what we're entertaining. And my customers have money in their accounts. It's not like maybe we might have the money because of Donald Trump and the new administration believing in our military, believing in deregulating. It's happening. So it's very exciting. But, Mike, we've got to continue to push the need for workers. It's just such a shortage. We're incredibly busy.
Everybody in the schools are telling me they're filled. In fact, there is a place here in Philadelphia. They are thinking of having a 24-hour class now for some of the people who are on the job, maybe working. They could work 6 hours and then come to the school for three through the night. Those people that work night get in there because everybody is looking for retrained people with all the new technology, the robotics and everything else. We talk about how everything went to technology and robotics. That's true. However, you also have to need people to make those products and be there to watch that the products are being made properly. You know, another thing that we talked about recently is Nike. Nike was in the news for so much. And as I went around, I spoke to a gentleman who works for Nike as a salesperson. And he said, you know, I listened to you guys on the net, and I think I'd like to suggest that we have 50% of all the Nike products sold in America, made in America with a USA label. Larkin, is that possible?
No, I don't think so, because I think Nike is a global company. I think they sell tennis shoes all over the world.
That's true. How about if we make the shoes just for America, Americans in America?
Well, right. I don't know that follows logic, but I'd like to add to all of this. Let me echo what Mark is saying. The main problem in this country is education. It really is. We need to educate our young and to educate them properly, whether it be the trades or whether it be to become an attorney or a doctor. You know, education is just really faltering in this country. And I got to thinking the other day, I was watching a story on, well, I'd say BMM instead of CNN. I was listening to CNN. And I actually heard them talking about the amount of money that was being spent in Florida between the Senate and the gubernatorial race. And I thought, did I hear that number right? Seriously? And I thought to myself, if you could give me personally that amount of money, I can educate five counties in this state and get them all MBAs. I can't imagine what this country is thinking, spending the kind of money that they're spending on elections. I don't even know what they're thinking about. It's amazing. Is it really that important that your party win? That we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to get a senator elected?
And you know, Larkin, you're right. And by the way, if I said to you, should we start focusing on individuals rather than parties? That's fine that they have a party association, but what does that individual have to offer? That's what we should be really focused on, not the party line this way, that way. It should be, I'm going there because I want jobs, I want security, I want better county roads. They should know what the person stands for when they're going to the poll, irregardless of the political background. That's how I look at the person.
Well, you know, I had a discussion the other day with an individual here in Florida who is of the other political persuasion than me, certainly not a conservative. And I threw out a couple interesting facts. I said, in 2017, the physical condition of every state was studied. The physical strength of every state in the union was studied. And, you know, that physical strength has to do with how they treat their pensions, how they pay their workers. There are a myriad different, their cash solvency, their service level solvency, how can they respond to hurricanes and stuff like that with money in the bank. So it's just a true, almost a free enterprise kind of corporate look at the state to see who's in the best condition. Rich, who's number one in the country?
We are, and we better remain that way in Florida.
Yeah.
Florida's
number one. Florida's number one, but I'm going to tell you the interesting thing about it. The top five states in the country, Florida, North Dakota, South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming, the most solvent states in the country. Rich, can you tell me what they all share in like and kind?
They were all red states. In fact, Larkin, it was the top 12 were all red states. Top
red
12
states. The bottom five: Maryland, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Illinois, and New Jersey. It's actually the bottom 12, I think.
Yep.
At what point do we really kind of scramble this all up and try to make sense out of the fact that obviously, Democrats are tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend, and they try to defend themselves by using some pretty lame examples. But boy, numbers just don't lie.
That's right. Numbers.
And Michael, you guys got races to watch in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
You know, Casey's up for re-election. You guys have a governor's race. The Kavanaugh thing, to just kind of piggyback on Barkin's point here, what the Kavanaugh thing was really about wasn't about Brett Kavanaugh. Him being a privileged white guy was just low-hanging fruit. If Brett Kavanaugh believed what he – if Brett Kavanaugh had been a black atheist, cultural Muslim gay guy who was an originalist, the Dems would have done the same thing because it's what his legal philosophy represents. The Dems know, Michael. And this is proven by the map. This isn't partisan what I'm telling you. The majority of people in the majority of states don't want the Democrat political product. They don't. In the state of Pennsylvania in 2016, the majority of Pennsylvanians didn't want the Dem product. Now, the people who stayed home, that's a separate issue. Here in Florida, Larkin, same deal. So because the Dems could always rely on the courts to have judges who make law from the bench rather than interpret law, a la Ginsburg, Breyer, Kagan, and Sotomayor on the Supreme Court, this is all starting to go away now, Michael. This is all starting to go away. And it's not that it's gone away, because President Obama, in addition to two Supreme Court justices, had over 300 federal judges confirmed. And you guys want to know something? Do you know that Republicans commonly, overwhelmingly voted to confirm yes. President Obama's federal judges.
Well,
Sotomayor and Kagan got Republicans voting for them. Overwhelmingly, they were supported by Republicans.
And both got 80 votes
common.
In the Senate.
Common. Up and down. You look at Obama's over 300 judges. You know, there's some 50-something to 40 and 60 to 40. But it's common, Michael, to see 70, 80s, and 90s. Republicans went in and said, okay, President Obama won the election. So he won the election. He gets to pick the judges because elections have consequences. That's what President Obama told us correctly in 2009. Now that President Trump has won, elections no longer have consequences. He's Alger Hiss. What? You know, like, he's Julius, you know, he's Julian Rosenberg. Julian and Ethel, he and Melania are Julian Ethel Rosenberg now, you know, to go back into history. So elections don't have consequences anymore. Now we have a conspiracy theory. That's what this whole thing represents, because the majority of people don't want, Michael, their I know the majority of Californians do, and the majority of New Yorkers, no offense, Mark, do, but that's why the entire country can't be dictated by what California and New York want. That's why we have an electoral college, which is under siege right now, FYI, just so you guys know.
Well, the Electoral College, I think, really is the best thing that happens, because the smaller states.
Michael, but it's under siege because there are numerous states that have signed on to it's called the National Popular Vote Bill, something or other. And that's why state elections matter, because to have a constitutional amendment, you need to have two-thirds of the state legislatures ratify them after it gets out of Congress.
Right, right.
Okay, so that's why state elections, I know they're not sexy all the time and they don't have the glitz and glamour, but like Larkin always says, all politics is local. A lot of what goes on in our state government affects us way more than what goes on in Washington.
Yep.
You know, a few weeks ago, Mr. Mark Andel said there's no tariffs for American-made products. Well said, Mark. That was repeated to me by several people. Well, but I want to get back to something I mentioned about Nike with Larkin. Today, most Nike products are made in Asia for very low prices. When they arrive here in the United States, the people are paying top dollar. So for years and years, Nike has been making a lot of money for very low-cost foreign-made products. It's time for us to wise up. Here's another very interesting statistic, Mark and Larkin and Rich. Nike employs over 1 million people all over the world. Most of them are in Asia, and a few are in other countries selling their products. Less than 20,000 people are employed in America, largely through sales-related positions. However, the majority of Nike sales, large portions, I should say, of Nike sales and Nike products come from America.
Yes, I said that many times, Mike. I mean, we're the consumer of the world.
We are the consumer. So they have 1 million employees, 20,000 of which are in America, mainly people circulating their products in America. I really think it's time, and as you said, Mark, before, no tariffs for American made. When Nike was questioned about the products coming in and how the tariffs would affect them, they said, well, of course, it's going to bring the price of the products up. So that's when I thought, well, if that's the case, employ 200,000 people in America to make the Nike product, make it Nike America brand.
Like it won't raise our prices retail. It's going to lower their profit margin.
That's the problem.
800 products. I'm almost 9,000 now products we sell. We support over 500 privately owned American businesses. Remember, I say it on the bus every time, not one publicly traded company makes a product in the United States of America that I can sell. Not one. They're all a slave to the dollar. That's the problem.
That's right. And you know what? Not only Nike, but how about if we go to some of the other products? We have a lot of people who could go into producing GE products. Why not? Why can't they do that? All we want is 50% of the stuff. Remember, no tariffs, no problems. Everybody would be happy. We need some toasters and hundreds of other electrical items that we're talking about so often with Made in the USA labels. Yep. Part of the problem that we have is when we say that, people say, Michael, there's been such a lull in people producing those products, we have to bring people into a whole new structure of production and manufacturing. Well, I think we should do it. Yes, Larkin.
Well, I just want to echo what Mark said. Nike, why we don't boycott Nike is so far beyond me. That won't make any sense to me. They make those tennis shoes in sweatshops and labor shops all over the China and Indonesia and Vietnam and Korea, wherever they are, and they bring them over here. And I actually used to walk on South Street in the morning to get a little exercise. And the one time my wife and I walked really early, it's like 5:30, quarter to six, and there was a long line outside of one of the tennis shoe shops. There were people sitting in chairs. And as we were walking up South Street, I said, what the heck? They must be giving something away or something. And I walked. I said to the last guy, what's going on? And they said, oh, the new Nike shoe goes on sale today.
$312 shoe.
It's completely out of the realm.
Probably it came for $30 from Asia.
And my comment was, you know how much better your life would be if you were as dedicated to sitting in a potential employment line with this kind of dedication.
And remember, New Balance is in our movie. New Balance makes a shoe, even if it's $60 to $100, made in America. So, Mike, it's definitely all about the dollar. America gets selfish, greedy, and lazy.
And New Balance shows us that it can be made in America.
Absolutely.
And that's why some New Balance is made overseas, too. Yes. However, a lot of it's made in America. And Nike could make it, and so many other companies could do it. And I really think the whole tariff situation...
They'd have to want to.
They have to want to. They have to be shown that America is the best place to do business and that the America's consumers really have their eye on the workers in America and the American-made label. That's the key to it all. If somebody would sit out there and camp out there for Nike shoes, they're looking for the brand name. I would rather have a shoe with Larkin sneakers and have it sold for $120 and know that it's made in America.
I'm telling you, my sneakers would smell like a locker room. it's just absolutely egregious that we allow this to happen and that we don't fight back. And what we're saying is exactly the mission behind Made in America, exactly behind our movement, and that is, don't buy a shoe that's made in Taiwan for $19.95 for $300 when you can get just as good a quality shoe for $75 that's made in America.
And you know what cracks me up, Mark? When I'm out at different events, especially at these festivals and all, people point down to their sneaker and show me the N on it. And I say, thanks. You know, you can do it. Why can't we have a Larkin shoe brand or a Rich? Rich, what would you do to bring that shoe brand to America?
Well, I mean, look, I didn't know that New Balance had made a lot in America until the movie Mark was in. Now, whenever I have a need to buy sneakers, I will buy Made in America New Balance. And that's thanks to the film, bringing the awareness. Because, look, marketing is powerful, Michael, right? Big names behind brands. It sells. I just, my thing with the Kaepernick thing is just like, look at who some of the people are that the Dems put on pedestals of heroism. You know, the people who come on the buses as veterans to Mark's store, Those people are veterans. Athletes are not heroes. There's, you can count on, you don't even need a full hand to count the amount of athlete heroes in American history. Jesse Owens, maybe Bill Russell of the Celtics. These guys aren't American heroes. Colin Kaepernick wore socks on the playing field, Michael, showing police officers as pigs.
Right.
And that's who we, and that's who the other side puts up on a pedestal as a hero. Colin Kaepernick doesn't know anything about our politics except what he hears parroted from the Dems and the D-Mike Democrat media industrial complex. That doesn't mean that I or any of us on this show are the expert of experts. We're not. I don't think that, and I don't believe you guys believe that at all. The most dangerous people are the are people politically who think they know anything. They don't know anything, Michael. They think they know it all, but they don't know anything. Everybody's a climate change expert because you studied pottery in college, and everybody's a gun expert, Mark. Right? Everyone's a firearms expert.
Well, you
know, they don't know anything about it. But they're happy, Michael.
But you know, Larkin, I don't know how this particular law works. Or maybe Rich or Mark knows. But a lot of the politicians are telling me that the big pools of money that used to come to them two, three, 4 years ago are really starting to dry up. People don't like the message. People think some of them have been in there too long. People think that they should have taken a stand a long time ago on American Made. Instead, all they keep calling for is money. I'm having a fundraiser. Send me a check for this much and that much. And people are starting to get turned off by it in the last year or 2 years. That, in one respect, is very good for me to hear, because that means that these people are not just going to have an easy time in the future just getting that money and doing whatever they want. I think it's time that the politicians start to show who they are, what they have to offer, and if they have nothing to offer, hit the road.
Well, Michael, we're seeing an evolution in American politics now. I was watching the Kavanaugh hearings, and there was a female senator. I don't know if it was Klobuchar or Feinstein. I'm not exactly sure, or if it was Susan Collins, who, by the way, without regard to her vote, the speech that she gave on the Senate floor should be typed out and sent to every high school social studies program in the country. Mm-hmm. And they all should read it and highlight it and think about it and talk about it. I'm not saying to swear by what she said. I just think it was one of the most provocative speeches I've ever heard in my life. To think that the Dems blew it off is, I'm not going to go there. But at any rate, when I looked at that one senator, she had nothing but, she was surrounded by women. And I thought, when we had the same hearing for Justice Thomas, in the same kind of vague circumstance, I don't know that you could see a woman even on the panel or in the staff behind all of the senators. So we are approaching some huge changes in this country. And the Me Too movement is responsible for much of it. I have mixed emotions, but it's going to happen. It needs to happen, and there's nothing we're going to do or say to stop it.
You're right, Larkin. I cannot agree with you more. The old idea of how much money you have to buy something, mainly elections or, you know, people's concerns, I think that's on the way out, because people don't. Another thing that's hurt some of the politicians is most people don't want their names listed on any given party's list that they gave to anybody. It's just becoming something people don't want to do.
And my, you know, I obviously love my wife. We've been married for 46 years. She has such a way of me studying everything and watching all the stuff and reading editorials and kind of trying to strike my opinion to where it is. And I said to her the other day at dinner, you know, I guess there's no stopping the fact that, you know, that women are going to take over. And she said, well, why are you fighting that? And I said, I'm not fighting it. I just think it's an anomaly. I mean, it's not an anomaly. It's a change. It's a paradigm. And we have to come to grips with it. And she said, you know, here's what I think about it. You men screwed this thing up so badly that we need to bring the women in to straighten it out. I thought, well, that's got some political power behind it.
Well, you know, I can see all sides of the story, and this helped to wake up America, too, the men and the women and the young people. The young people stuck with all those college loans and all. They're disgusted now. Some people tell me, Michael, I'll be paying off my college till I'm 42 years old. And, you know, even if I have to extend it, it may go to 45 because I had great ideas when I was going for all those classes, only to find out now that those classes are no longer in need at all because of computerization. Everything that I went for is now old hat because everybody is a computer expert of their own. The phone came into existence. That's another thing I'd like to have. 50% of the phones made here in the USA. And why can't it be done? That's another little thing. You know, guys, I want to tell you something. Just talking today and listening what everybody has to say, I really think that all of our efforts really helped cause this wave of change in America, staying focused and consistent, not whipping individuals, as all I hear in a lot of the major news media. It seems that they wake up in the morning just happy to see somebody in the news getting, you know, into some kind of little difficulty so they can have a 3 or 4 day cycle of news. Just a few years ago, people thought that the industries that moved overseas were gone forever and that workers would have to really be settling for nothing but service-oriented jobs. That's not the case anymore. Today, the American people are pleased to see that industries are growing. All that nonsense that people were told, now let somebody else do the work and we'll just do the billing. Now we see the focus of our mission being discussed, and I really think in corporate boardrooms, including the Walmarts and all the others, people are saying we've got to address this because if companies come into America, maybe we're going to have some televisions made in America, some cell phones. If they come into America and put those products on the American market, our market for foreign stuff is not going to be as great as it was. So we all have to start looking at what's going on. And the fact that we've been talking these common sense issues for a long time, people really are getting the message. I hear it talked about at organizations, meetings. We're talking about it on the radio. I'm seeing more about it in the print media. And people like Mark and Rich and Larkin, you've actually, and Curtis, all of you have helped to add to that flavor. We're a small voice getting bigger every day. With your help, it's been done.
I don't think you can put a price, not to single out one person, but one person needs to be singled out. I don't think you can put a price on the effect that Mark Andel has had on this movement.
Absolutely.
I can't even imagine coming anywhere near to putting an effective price on that. I mean, he is the godfather of this movement, and when he speaks, people listen. And I hope, Mark, that when you put your baby browns down at night to catch some winks, that you grin to yourself and go, wow, that's another day behind me. We've got a little bit more done.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Larkin.
And Larkin, you're right, because he's a physical. He's actually doing it. We can all talk, but we have to see his actual actions by putting up the store, giving it a try. I mean, I'm sure Larkin, we all thought when we first heard about Mark, how long would it last? Well, Mark showed all of us what you can do with focus and consistency.
But Michael, can I make a point on that? Because you guys might remember a while ago, Larkin had made a prediction that President Trump will visit Mark's anchor flagship store, the original store. Curtis, I know you're out doing the great work you do. Maybe Curtis can help make it happen to get the president to the original Made in America store. Mark, would you be amenable to that?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, just, and then all, you know, Mark, if that happens, people you haven't talked to in 30 years are going to be your friends again. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
They're his friends.
Oh, how's it going?
I'm so glad I supported you when it was.
Yes,
all really
right. So happy. How many stores you have again? You know, I just get ready.
Right.
You know, Mark, I was really pleased over the summer at the festival there at Czestochowa. Some of the people came up and they said, you know, we went to the American side of the falls. And while we were up there, we hear about this Mark Andel on the radio all the time. We did go to his store and it's great. It's a great pleasure to go there because you can see the hard work that this has been to make this thing start from nothing and continue.
Yep, and it takes great people, guys.
And
do
the
that.
Best, the best, the best, and most important thing they say is, why is this not being duplicated in other cities and states? And because the main cause is the foreign merchandisers don't want it to happen. Mark, you made it happen by making everything in your product 100%, maybe 1,000%. The merchandisers don't want that because once they allow you to go bigger and bigger, they lose a lot of their profit. And that's what they don't want.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for the kind comments. We, you know, again, we got a great team that really put a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of effort. Larkin knows a lot about the business side, but it takes people that believe, are loyal, and commit just like you guys for this radio show. And it is a movement. Larkin, thank you, and Rich and Mike, for the kind comments. Our team's done a great job. It's been 8 years. We're asked all the time. People think that President Trump started this. I said, no, I actually did it 8 years ago, April 3rd, 2010. This is, again, not an R or D thing. This is a common sense movement, and it needs to happen.
Right.
And I think the more we talk about it, the more we do and keep it moving, the more stronger we'll get as a team.
Right, right. You know, I always tell people everywhere I go, I use a line. I tell people when you look at a label, you make sure you understand that label with a foreign-made item listed, that this is foreign-made, means simply that that's mainly sales, shipping, and handling. When you get a product made in America with a USA label, that means the person from start to finish, ordering the products, putting the labels on, shipping it, there are many levels of people employed. Please do that. And I also, in the last week, have been using Mark's line, and there's no tariffs for anything made in America.
I love it.
That is a great line. You used that a couple weeks ago.
And yeah, I'm going to make that shirt. Yeah, made in America equals no tariffs. That's what it is.
No tariffs. And let them have the tariffs. You know, I think that more happened, quite frankly, guys, with this tariff discussion. I think it brought a lot of the people to the table. I see what it did with Mexico and Canada. People are at the table discussing, you know, how are we going to work better together. It's showing the people who wrote the NAFTA that this was not a real good deal. It wasn't well thought out, and it didn't have an end date. Where this has a time to reconsider it, to make sure everybody's getting a slice of the pie. And I don't see any of the unions or anybody else freaking out that this new agreement is about to be presented to the House and the Senate. Do you, Larkin?
No, but I have heard a little bit of the loyal opposition, and they're saying that Canada was muscled into this, and that the first opportunity they get, they're going to get out of it. Well, that makes virtually no sense for a variety of reasons. You don't sign a trade agreement so that you can plan to get out of it at the earliest moment. But they say that the United States bullied them into signing this agreement. Well, wait a second. Now, who's been bullying who for the last 25, 30 years?
That's exactly right.
So don't cry the bully wolf to me. I mean, come on, go find somebody to listen to you.
And a lot of the stuff in these new agreements, before they're approved in the House and Senate, are going to be discussed publicly for the first time before they vote on it. I don't know when that vote will be. Do you know, Rich, when the new U.S., Canada, Mexico agreement supposed to be signed into law after it's through the House and Senate? Did they give any kind of timeline?
I've seen December or January.
Okay, so before December or January, we should know what's in that agreement. We did not know what was in NAFTA. We didn't know that. We just heard that it was happening. Remember, 25 years ago, communications were not what they are today. Today, there's no excuse.
Can I tell you one of the things that's in there? I'm so proud of this. I screamed when I heard it. This is our president. What's in there is that he even wants the component parts to vehicles made in America. And if you work for a company that designs and makes component parts in America, you have to make at least $16 an hour.
That's the way it should be.
Period, amen.
Period, amen. Not that $6 a day or $14 a day. That was ridiculous. And now it's all going to come to an end, hopefully, to our benefit and to the benefit of the people in Mexico and in Canada as well. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's time to say best wishes to all of you. We have a lot of things going on in the next few days in the Philadelphia area. I encourage you to sign up on our e-list. Go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and also click on the American Made Radio link. I want you to get more involved. Get that app on the phone. Spread the word. We need you. We love you. And we thank you for doing all that you're doing to make America great. Larkin, Rich, Mark, Henry, to all of you listening, to all of you promoting the message, thank you. Until this Saturday at 11, best wishes to you and yours.
Excellent. Have a great week, guys.